Commissioner Fish, I think, is joining us. But at any rate, good morning and welcome to the October 23rd meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll, caller?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Hales?
Here. And let's start with communications items, please.
Item 999, request of Mark Hoffhines to address council regarding follow-up and update for September 25th communication.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mark J. Hoffhines, Jr. with UCARE, United Coalition Against Repression for Equality. Come before you for a few things. As of an update, since my last September 25th coming before you, a number of outreach workers to appear out front, none. Police calls for new homeless nuisance, none. Violent attacks on protesters, one plus. People off the street, none. So I'm asking, what's going on? Why haven't you done anything, and why are we still sitting out here in front of you, and yet still nothing's going on? I am understanding that you have offered the TPI building, the one that is abandoned, to R2-D2 at one point, and I propose to you that we don't just want it, we need it as a pilot project but for UCARE and Humanity Hub to show you guys how homelessness can be solved. It's sitting there doing nothing. If you offer it to them, why can't you offer it to us? Do we have to file a lawsuit? What's it going to take? Also, I still have a minute and 45 seconds here in a moment, and I want to let you guys have the opportunity to speak. This is communications, so if you can do that for me, that'd be great.
Well, Mark, thanks for coming. There are works in progress here, but the council meeting is not where we figure all that out.
No, but it says communication, so I'm asking for communication. Can you please explain
it's communication this way?
I'm not sure about that, but regardless, the point is, I'm here for answers. So where are the answers?
Right, but we don't operate that way on communications. It's for you to tell us what is on your mind and what you think we should be working on, and then
we
proceed to do the work.
Everybody's watching, so I want you to be accountable for what you say. So that's all I'm trying to get at.
One of my friends once said that meetings aren't work. Meetings are where the work's figured out.
And mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we're doing.
And we had a meeting. That was great. Where have you gotten from there?
We're working on it. So
okay.
Thanks.
Well, I haven't been invited to any other meetings. What's going on?
Mark,
I'm just asking.
Thanks for coming.
Communications. I'm not done. I still have 51 seconds.
Go ahead.
But, Man and Fritz, again, thank you. My prediction was correct. You did email me. Also, I have 2 days, Friday and Monday. I've been out here with the fundraiser with handing out cookies, and I haven't seen any one of you. Fish, you had a meeting to go to. I understand that. Fritz, I shook your hand as you walked into the building one day, and I wasn't doing anything then. But, that's that. I mean, anything else? Are we getting anywhere?
All right. So, thanks.
Item 1000, request of Joe Walsh to address council regarding justice.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I'm here today. The topic is justice. Something's going to happen this afternoon at 2 o'clock that you have the power and the influence to make some drastic changes. What you're receiving there is a copy of the federal Constitution. And I suggest, Mayor, that you read the article Amendment 1 called Freedom of the Press, because apparently you're knocking out all the press from the building. That's not freedom of the press. It's not justice either. But I'm really here today to talk about what's going to happen this afternoon on the Independent Review Board, I think it's called. The name of the organization from the auditor's office is unimportant. It's how you use it. And how you use it, it's got to be totally independent. That means no influence from anybody on this council, in the police department, anywhere else. Now, I don't think we're going to get that, but we're going to keep pushing for it. Someday we will. There are three names of people that were murdered on your streets that I want to read into the record. There were 139 that the Cop Watch has put out in 1992 that have been murdered or shot at on our streets by your police department that you're trying to get some kind of control over. The three people that I know or knew and know about is Aaron Campbell. He was shot in the back by a sniper while he was talking to the police. Keaton Otis, 25. He was shot about 20 times. He was stopped for no reason, none. And he ended up being murdered. Dale Collins, man that was obviously sick, ill, had a very small knife in his hand and a cop blew him away from 30 feet. That's what you're dealing with in your police department. These are all happened in 2010. That's not too far away. You're still under investigation from the federal authorities. You still haven't done your job. So what I'm saying to you this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I want you to think about justice. And think about these people that died and the people that will die. And I know I'm out of time, Mayor.
Thanks, Joe.
Don't thank me, please.
Item 1001, request of John Mullis to address council regarding West Hayden Island.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is John Mullis. I'm the executive secretary for the Oregon State Building Trades Council, which is an umbrella organization for approximately 25,000 union construction workers. I'm here this morning to testify in favor of developing and preserving West Hayden Island in a sustainable manner. Allowing 300 acres to be developed into a port terminal and having 500 acres to be preserved seems like good common sense to me. Our council fully supports the Port of Portland's proposal to develop 300 acres into a terminal, and we hope that you will give full consideration to the issues and concerns in the letter that Bill Wyatt sent to all of you that's dated October 7th, 2013. If the port cannot financially and feasibly develop that terminal, we believe that a great opportunity for economic development and jobs for our future and for our city and for our region will be lost. We all know that sustainability is a three-legged stool, environmental, social, and economic. And I know that all of you have heard, or I'm sure all of you have heard numerous times, the fact that trade-related jobs and jobs in the harbor pay substantially higher than the regional average. And that's especially important for folks that can't afford to go to college. They need to have these types of job opportunities in the future if they're going to be able to support and sustain themselves and their families. We're all very proud here in Portland and in our region of our good school system, of our fantastic park system, of light rail, of streetcar, all the wonderful amenities that we all enjoy. I think we all need to step back and remember that all of these come from people that are working at good family wage jobs and paying taxes. Oregon Health Sciences University celebrated their 125th anniversary recently. And, you know, I'm sure years before that, it was just a wooded hill. And somebody made the decision years ago to allow that to be developed. And I don't think anybody would argue that that isn't the right thing to do, and that's a wonderful asset to our society. We in the building trades don't want every patch of trees cut down and turned into a development like that. But I don't think we can have every bit of it be like Forest Park either, where it's just completely untouched. So I think this proposal is the right way to go. And I think that people 30, 40, 50 years from now, if this terminal is allowed to move forward and be built, whether they're working at a job on the terminal or whether they're enjoying the 500 acres that have been preserved as open space, they'll look back and say, whoever the leaders were of the city at that point in time, they got it right. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks. Appreciate you coming. Thanks. Okay, next one, please.
Item 1002, request of Andre Baugh to address council regarding West Hayden Island.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hills, Council, Andre Baugh, Planning Sustainability Commission. I'm here today to speak about West Hayden Islands and items I think you should consider in decision-making. First, Superfund Harbor may impact West Hayden Island. The Superfund Harbor settlements may include the city and the port and other parties that may have mitigation obligations, as well as other private parties. The city, you, and the port and others may be looking for projects to do for mitigation, and West Hayden Island may have a role in that.
Andre, could you get a little closer?
Yes. And may impact the role of mitigation in West Hayden Island. And keep in mind, the tribes are involved as members, as I understand it, in a group that will make decisions about the size of those obligations around mitigation. Second, the City of Portland may have the ability to regulate community concerns over the impact of a proposed port expansion on traffic, health, the environment, and safety. According to the Supreme Court of the United States, in case number 11-798, in a case involving the City of Los Angeles and the port, where they did regulate trucks and the amount of emissions of those trucks. Third, the comp plan and West Hayden Island lands relationship and the long-term ramifications for the city with your decision around that relationship. Fourth, birds, fish, and plants and other creatures do not know the boundaries of 300 and 500 we humans have defined on West Hayden Island. Think about what is the intention of the mitigation as you make a decision. Fifth, when considering costs, if West Hayden Island is built out to its full capacity, it may be the largest port facility in terms of bulk grain on the West Coast. Then should the city consider a partnership with the port and others in going to the legislature for a bill similar to Senate Bill 253, asking the state of Oregon to recognize this significant West Hayden Island regional industrial site, the value of that, and help them performing due diligence assessments by providing grant funds. I raise this because the model used by the port in asking, stating 850 is all they can afford is predicated on a net present value model that they're utilizing that has a 15-year negative cash flow to do site prep and then turns to a 25-year positive cash flow from the revenue from the operating port. What makes the cost of any of these parties a significant issue is the variables in any NPV model. And those, per Keith Levitt of the port, he noted in a presentation to us at the Planning Commission, are market risk and uncertainty, permitting and site preparation lag time, makes West Hayden Island an opportunity of the future. The port has limited investment capital, so there's a need for private and public partnerships and timing of the investment versus the revenue. These variable based factors, you can't control. Some of them you can't control, and some of them you will influence, but certainly a lot of them will be out of your tenure, past your tenure, when they occur. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Andre, thanks for all the time you're spending educating us about this very complex issue. I know you have many other roles that you play, but we appreciate all the time you're spending.
Thank you. And I'll get closer next time.
Thanks. Okay, next one, please.
Item 1003, request of Bob Solinger to address council regarding West Hayden Island.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the Portland City Council. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. I passed out a document basically from the West Hayden Island documents that I'll be referring to this morning. There's three sections, A, B, and C. I hope it goes without saying at this point that West Hayden Island is an irreplaceable resource. There's ample evidence of the record from the agencies, from the tribes, from the city itself to validate that statement. You have entities that are coming hundreds of miles down the Columbia River to tell you that this piece is critical to restoration efforts along the entire Columbia River corridor. We just don't have that many big pieces left. But today I want to focus in on some of the things that were presented at the hearing a couple weeks ago and some of the things that weren't. First, I want to talk about jobs. We're not only justifying Hayden Island's conversion, but also we're talking about golf courses, rolling back environmental protections, a whole lot of different things that are going to affect the health of our communities and our environment in the names of creating industrial jobs. And I think we need to take a step back from that and think about what we're really doing here. We're destroying some of our last best places in this pursuit of jobs. But let's look at the context for a second. The Industrial Harbor, the first page, Section A, from 2002 to 2008, we increased the amount of industrial land in the Portland Harbor, but jobs went down. Just creating new land doesn't create new jobs. And I see the city council and prior city councils doing absolutely nothing to ensure that those jobs are actually produced. It's a great windfall for the people that own the property, but no assurances that jobs are actually occurring. And at the same time that the Port of Portland wants to develop Hayden Island, we see other ports going toward coal, LNG, and oil to fill long vacant lands. Finally, we see Terminal 6 and Hanjin leaving Portland and potentially an entire port terminal failing. And I question how, in the context of those things, we can justify destroying 300 acres of irreplaceable wildlife habitat next to one of our most vulnerable communities to boot. This is 1950s style industrial development patterns. Let's give them more green space, give them cheap land, and subsidize it without ever asking for insurances that those jobs will actually occur. We think there's a better way to go forward. One, let's clean up the 900 acres of brownfields. Two, let's get through Superfund. Three, let's require that when we do transition land, the jobs be actually produced, and let's put something into these agreements that requires that. And four, let's force these ports up and down the Columbia River to work together. That was in the 1991 Port Master Plan. They've never done it. And so while other ports are seeking out these unsustainable industries to fill long vacant lands, we're creating new industrial land. Let's make them work together. Secondly, I want to talk about the uncertainty in the IGA. The IGA is riddled with loopholes and escape clauses. And if you look at Section B of this, I've given you a lot of that language. I can't imagine that the city or the port would ever enter into an agreement to build something or do something with such a biased contract, such a unilateral agreement, where the port is assured they'll be able to go forward, but there's no assurances as to who's going to find the money for the public health benefits, for the environmental benefits. There's no accountability. It's Metro, the city, the port, the state. And there are escape clauses that if that money does not occur, the port can come back and either renegotiate or unilaterally terminate this agreement. We hear a lot about the three-legged stool, that we are going to improve the economy, the environment, and the community, simultaneously equity. This isn't a three-legged stool. What we're doing here is we're increasing the amount of industrial land at the expense of our community and our environment. We have no assurances that even what's in here and it's not adequate will ever come forward. I don't think I'd want to sit on that three-legged stool where one leg is getting longer and two are getting shorter. So thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate those. Let's move to the consent calendar. I haven't got any requests, I don't believe, for anything to be removed from the consent calendar. Is that right? There are none here this morning? Okay. Then let's vote on the consent calendar, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Just note that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement is being bought a truck. And I am very happy about that. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Ailes?
Remember at one time you said you were looking for a bureau with trucks, and unfortunately that one didn't arrive in time, but now you have them. Aye. Not a lot of them. Okay, let's move to the regular calendar, and I believe they're all second reading items.
Item 1015, extend a street closure program in the Old Town Entertainment District through parts of Northwest 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenues between West Burnside and Northwest Everett on certain days and during certain hours for a period of 1 year.
Again, I just want to thank Chad Stover on my staff and Oni staff and others who have worked outside of the parameters of the job they thought they had and the hours they thought they were going to be keeping in order to address this challenge in Northwest Portland. Any other council questions or comments before we vote? Roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thanks to the mayor for taking this on, and to particularly Mike Boyer and Teresa Marchetti in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who've been doing stalwart work for many years on it. I think this is mapping a path forward. Obviously, the neighborhood associations, the business associations, and the wider community needs to be involved in the wider entertainment district discussions, and I'm glad that the stakeholder group is being set up to do that. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And 1016, please.
Authorize a 3-year contract with Dr. David M. Corey for $225,000 and Dr. Sherry L. Harden for $45,000 to provide psychological and fitness for duty examinations.
Mayor, before we vote, I'd just like to read into the record that I've had some correspondence with Christine Moody, the Chief Procurement Officer, and she does not believe that we need to amend the ordinance because it says the ordinance says that the contract will be similar to the attachment that is still posted. However, she has agreed to amend Section J to add racial profiling to the issues that the consultant will address, and also to add a Section K, consultant shall attend the CPRC, which is the Community and Police Relations Committee, and the Portland Police Bureau training on institutional racism as scheduled by the city. And Section L, secure and train appropriate additional psychologists in all elements of the psychological evaluation for current community police officers, including but not limited to training through APA-approved courses on diversity and cultural sensitivity.
Thank you. Okay, any other council comments? Roll call, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I appreciate the extensive work that was done to reevaluate this contract, and indeed including the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition in reviewing and being part of the hiring process. The excellent work by Christine Moody, the Chief Procurement Officer, and I'm appreciative that this is a 3-year contract rather than a longer one so that there is the opportunity for others to learn the skills. And I'm also appreciative of dividing the contract so that Dr. Harden is providing some of the services, and that's a step forward. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Thanks, Christine. Appreciate you being responsive and getting the council's concerns addressed and how we're going to solicit these proposals. Thank you. Aye. Okay, 1017.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for Southwest Moody Avenue Project, Southwest River Parkway to Southwest Hamilton Court to extend the completion date and project boundary.
Mr. Novick, anything before we vote?
Nope.
Second reading, roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
Mayor, before we adjourn, can I just raise a new matter? Last night, Commissioner Fritz and I had the honor of attending a forum that was held in chambers on the occasion of the centennial of the commission-style form of government. And we were joined by former Mayor Bud Clark, Mike Lindberg, Paulina Lloyd Anderson, Jewel Lansing, Bob Koch, who I'm not sure I'd ever met, frankly, and, Amanda Fritz. And then we had lots of community members who were also here, the auditor, LaVon Griffin Vallade, and her team set it up, and the team at the archives also organized the event. So I wanted just to publicly thank them for the work they did. And there's downstairs, there's an exhibit that our archivist has set up, which has some of the gems from our collection in a case. And I urge you and all of us to take the time to go down and look at some of the gems from our collection. And it's a reminder that the archives of the City of Portland are a public archives. So if you want to go over and ask to see the original John Charles Olmsted report to the Parks Board on a vision for parks, or if you just want to look at the tchotchkes that used to be on Bud Clark's desk, they're all available for inspection. And I encourage you to do so. But I want to especially thank Amanda for joining us and for the comments she made last night.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I will go check it out. Thank you. And we're recessed until 2 p.m.